If you will please join me in opening your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 21. Tonight our primary text will be 2 Kings 21 verses 19 through 26. And again, the parallel passage of Scripture to what we'll be looking at tonight is 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verses 21 through 25. And that passage really is critical in getting a full understanding of what we're going to look at tonight. 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 through 26. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Harutz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for clearing out all the clouds and rain and for allowing us to be able to come to church in just beautiful weather. Thank you for encouraging our hearts through the all that you did in the morning service, Lord, with those that were baptized, and just a good time of fellowship with our lunch fellowship. Thank you for these rich blessings that you give to us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come to church again tonight. For everyone that's come out, we pray that you would minister to hearts. Lord, give us something tonight from your word, please, that would help us as we begin another week with you. I pray that you would just strengthen our faith, give us a better understanding of your word, and just do the work in us that you would be pleased to do tonight. We pray that you would help us to honor you by all that we say, all that we think and do throughout the remainder of this day. Again, thank you for the Lord's Day and for the refreshing that it is to our souls and our bodies as we meet together. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Please minister to many in our church family that are still battling with sicknesses and the residue of sicknesses. And just pray that you would minister to them and enable them to be back with us very soon. Please guide us now in the study of your word. Lord, please touch our eyes by your spirit. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for us to rightly understand the man that we're going to consider tonight, we need to just for a moment review the life of his father. That was King Manasseh. And if you remember, as we saw last week, in his early years, King Manasseh had rebelled against the Lord. He rejected the God of his father. He rejected the ways of his father. And during that early period in Manasseh's life, he even went so far in serving other gods that he sacrificed his own children as burnt offerings to the false god Molech. And so he did very, very wickedly. But we did see how he was humbled. He experienced a humbling situation. He was taken, carried away captive into the far country of Babylon. And there, when he was brought into a place where he couldn't run anywhere, evidently did some good hard thinking, and he came to himself. The Bible tells us that he greatly humbled himself. He repents. And there, perhaps in prison in Babylon, he bows his heart and head and receives the Lord God of his fathers as his own Lord God. Well, that made a transformation in Manasseh's life. And amazingly, God brought him out of captivity. He was allowed to leave captivity in Babylon. He's brought back to Jerusalem. He is reinstalled as the king of Judah. And you say, wow, what a turnaround had taken place in this man's life. God was merciful to him in many, many ways, giving him that opportunity to repent. Along with those mercies, one thing that God did for Manasseh was that he spared one of his sons. And it could have been that Manasseh, you know, sacrificed all of his children to these false gods, but at least one of Manasseh's sons, by the name of Ammon, the man that we're going to consider in our study tonight, his life is spared. Ammon was born to Manasseh. When you run the numbers, we find that Ammon was born to Manasseh when Manasseh was 45 years old. Okay, so we know the approximate time period in which he was born. Okay, Ammon's name means skilled master or skilled workman or master workman. The name is very interesting. It is actually the name of an Egyptian god, an Egyptian idol that would have been made by a skilled craftsman or a skilled or master workman. So this man Ammon has the proud distinction of being the only Jewish king to bear the name of a foreign god. Well, we can't blame Ammon for that because most children don't name themselves, right? At least I've not met one yet that did that. What do you want to be called? I don't know how to spell that. Let's go with Fred. Okay. Anyhow, so he doesn't name himself. His father most likely gave him the name. His name is the name of an Egyptian god, an Egyptian idol, some lifeless idol that was made by a skilled workman. And Ammon's name and the time period when he, the age at which Manasseh was when Ammon is born, tells us that Ammon was born during Manasseh's rebellious years. During those years when he was worshiping idols, during those years when he was even sacrificing his children to false gods. Now, Manasseh dies at age 67. Okay, this means that Ammon, as described in our text, is 22 years old when he comes to the throne of Judah. He had witnessed his father's sin. He had also witnessed his father's being taken away into captivity, his father's repentance, and his restoration. He had seen all these things transpire in his father's life, and so now Ammon had to choose for himself which way he's going to go, which path he's going to choose. Well, tragically, as you've already gathered from the reading of our text tonight, Ammon chooses to go the way of the world, not the way of the Lord. Why did he do this? Well, maybe Ammon thought that seeing his father's example, he too could willingly just rebel against the Lord and then at some later time repent at leisure. But unlike his daddy, Ammon would never come to the place of repentance in his life. He's going to be dead at the age of 24. He will not have the luxury of presuming upon the grace of God. Tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together as we do just a one-time study of the life of Ammon. And we'll give our study this title, He Sacrificed Himself to the Gods. He sacrificed himself to the gods. We're going to see the example of a man who wasted his life living for the short, and in his life for sure it was, a very short season of sinful pleasure. And what we learn from his example should encourage us as those whom the Lord has made kings and priests unto God, not to waste our lives living for the quickly passing pleasures of this world, but to choose God's way. Moses was another one who was given placed in a great opportunity. He had a choice which way he's going to go. And Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the choice we should make. But we're going to look at Ammon's choice tonight and learn from him. So let's consider two main ideas relating to the life of Ammon. We'll note, first of all, the conduct of Ammon, how he lived his life, his behavior, the conduct of Ammon, and then secondly, the conspiracy against Ammon. So our first thought, the conduct of Ammon, is seen really in verses 19 through 22 of our text. We've already read that. I'm not going to reread it. I'm going to read the cross-reference. It's in 2 Chronicles 33, verses 22 and 23. And here it describes Ammon's conduct. It says, For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Ammon trespassed more and more. So Manasseh, as we saw, had reigned longer than any other king of Israel or Judah. In contrast to that, Ammon reigns for 2 years. Ammon's life and his reign were both short and sinful. He is placed in a position of honor and influence. But unfortunately, being put in that position did not improve Ammon's character or his conduct. You would think a man, you know, being put in an elevated position, that would elevate his character, his conduct. That would make a positive change. Unfortunately, that did not take place here. Instead, King Ammon walks in the first ways of his father Manasseh. He does what is evil in the sight of the Lord. He worships and serves the idols that his father had once served. As we read in our text, it says that he forsook the Lord God of his fathers. He made a deliberate choice to apostatize, to turn away from the Lord God of his fathers and to walk not in the way of the Lord. Beyond that, Ammon's conduct got progressively, or we might say digressively, worse. 2 Chronicles 32:23 says that he trespassed more and more. It was like a snowball effect in his life. It just got worse and worse. He literally multiplies sin. Joseph Parker said here, he said he tried to show how much evil could be compressed into a little time. He made no secret of his departure, of his apostasy. He reveled in trespass. So again, his father had humbled himself, but here's Ammon. He comes along and he basically says, I want to see just how far I can go into the far country. Now, though Ammon copied his father's sins, Ammon did not model his father's repentance. And the scripture tells us again in 2 Chronicles 33:22, Ammon, quote, humbled not himself before the Lord as his father had humbled, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. So in effect, Ammon chose likewise to run to the far country, but he never comes back. He never returns from the far country, spiritually speaking. Again, as we mentioned in our introduction, maybe Ammon thought that he could sow to the flesh, and then at convenient time he could just repent, and then there would be no lasting consequences. Many have unconsciously reasoned that same way, but then had to learn otherwise. We've all heard the statement, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. And Ammon reminds us of the danger of presuming upon the grace of God. Psalm 19 talks about the great transgression, sins of presumption, where we say, you know what, I saw somebody else do this and they repented and they got away with it, so I think I'm going to try it too. And we presume upon the grace of God. That's a dangerous thing. With each yielding to the flesh, the cords of sinful habits become harder to break. And in some cases, they are never broken. Proverbs 5:22 says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden, bound with the cords of his sins. Now, unfortunately, though, we saw how Manasseh had repented and surrendered to the Lord at a later point in his life. As we look at Ammon's testimony, we see the obvious truth that the influence that Manasseh had had on his children during those early years of rebellion had a devastating effect. And it's also interesting, we didn't emphasize this last week, but in 2 Chronicles 33:15, when Manasseh comes back to Jerusalem and he leads the nation in a time of restoration and revival, reformation, where they're removing all these idols, it makes this interesting statement. It says, he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, listen to this, and cast them out of the city. In other words, he comes in to clean out the idols, but he just takes them and he casts them outside of the city. Maybe puts them in a large pile outside of the city gates. Well, actually, that was an act of disobedience. According to Deuteronomy 7:5, the Lord had commanded his people regarding those idols and those altars, the heathen idols and altars, that they were to be completely destroyed. They were to be burned and destroyed. And so Manasseh, though, instead of destroying those idols, he just distances them. Instead of having a bonfire and just completely destroying them, he just, you might say, puts them in the back of the closet. Just kind of hides it away, out of sight, out of mind. Well, unfortunately, someone else came along and found them and brought them right back in. And so Manasseh's failure to destroy those things, simply distancing them, made it easier for Ammon to bring them back into use. And so again, we cannot consider Ammon's life without re-examining and reconsidering Manasseh's influence. Manasseh's example teaches us that though sin may be repented of, it may leave a lasting negative impact. This is why it's so important that we get it right the first time. Unfortunately, we can't go back and change things. We've got to get it right now and go right now going forward. Do right, because, well, even if we repent, there may be some influence that will remain. We also learn from Manasseh's example to be very decisive and to be thorough in removing sin and temptation from our lives and from our homes so that those things cannot be easily picked up by the next generation. In other words, don't leave an old idol lying around or in a closet which some poor soul may pick up and worship to their destruction. It's not enough for us just to distance it. The Lord said, destroy it. You tear it down, you completely dismantle it. Matthew Henry said, those who set bad examples, though they may repent themselves, yet cannot be sure that those whom they have drawn into sin by their example will repent. It is often otherwise. Yes, it is true that there are some who go to the far country and by the mercy and grace of God, they're saved out of that. But many go to the far country and never come back. And sometimes they go to the far country because of the influence of others leading them there. Again, another preacher said, there are some serious consequences even to forgiven sin. It would have taken a very spiritual person to rise above the legacy left by his father. Clearly, Ammon was not that person. Natural and spiritual fathers ought to be constantly exercised about the example they set for the next generation. So again, we see the influence of Manasseh. But considering this angle as well, in both Manasseh's and Ammon's case, we see that it's easier to set a bad example than a good one, and it's easier to follow bad examples than good ones. The broad way is easier to follow than the straight and narrow way, right? If it were not that way, then everybody would be on the straight and narrow way. Okay, it's easier to go the way of the world. Just, you know, you don't have to do anything. Just yield and go with the flow. So it's easier to follow a bad example. It's easier to set a bad example, but we also need to remember that God holds each and every soul responsible for their own choices. And He even holds each of us responsible to know and learn from God's dealings with others, whether it be brothers, sisters, parents, and grandparents. Ammon was not ignorant. He saw the whole situation. Yes, he saw his father's sins. He also saw the consequences of the sin. And he saw a man who greatly humbled himself, repented, and was restored. Ammon knew that his father had rebelled against God. He knew that his father had experienced great chastening by God's hand. Now he'd humbled himself and repented, but Ammon did not repent, though he knew all of this. Daniel chapter 5, Well, I don't know that he literally did this, but in a sense, he puts his finger in the face of Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, listen here. He said, you know what happened to your grandfather? His heart, he was lifted up in pride. His mind was hardened. They sent him out to the pasture, you know, and he was basically, his glory departed from him. He lost his throne. He was lived like a beast. Until he was humbled, until he recognized that the Lord God of heaven is in control and he sets up kings and puts them down. And then he charges Belshazzar's conscience with this statement. He says, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. The same charge could have been leveled against Ammon.
Ammon, you know what happened to your father. He rebelled against God. He lost his kingdom, was carried away into a far country until he humbled himself. Then he was brought back. But you've not humbled yourself, though you knew all of this. God holds us responsible for what we know and what we do with it. The scripture says, to whom much is given, of him shall much more be required. And you read the context, and what is it that's much that is given? It's knowledge. He that knew his master's will and did not accordingly. He that knew not and did not accordingly. The more we know, the more accountability we have to live according to what we know. But again, Ammon does not do that. We see the conduct of Ammon. Secondly, and lastly, there's the conspiracy against Ammon. And this is seen in verses 23 through 26 of our text. Instead of having this presumed luxury of being able to repent at leisure sometime later in life, King Ammon, again, was dead at age 24. Ammon had rebelled against God, and so Ammon's servants rebelled against him. They conspire against him. They kill him. Ammon's servants, those who should have been protecting the king, had actually murdered the king. The scripture tells us that he is killed in his own house. Someone said a man's house is his castle. Well, this man's castle was his house. But rather than being a place of escape, a place of protection, it became a place of execution. Ammon likewise had polluted the Lord's house with idols. And so Ammon's house was polluted with his own blood. His own servants rebel against him. They conspire against him. They murder him in his own house. The same fate, by the way, came to two of Ammon's forefathers, Joash and Amaziah. And in each of those cases, it was a direct judgment of God because of those men's rebellion against the Lord. Listen, God did not tempt these servants to conspire against Ammon. Neither did he tempt those who murdered Joash and Amaziah, but God was still righteous in allowing this event to take place. God causes the wrath of man to praise him. And the fact is, Ammon did not die because of his father's sin. Ammon died because of his own sin, his own rebellion against God. And Deuteronomy 24:16 lays out that principle. The fathers are not to be executed for the sins of the sons, nor the sons for the sins of the father. Verse 24. It says, and the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. Now, King Ammon was a bad king, but he was Judah's king. And he was God's appointed king. And so, though all the servants conspired against Ammon, now all the people of the land execute all those who had assassinated King Ammon. This was a right action. This was a just action. This capital punishment would prevent such acts of murder and rebellion against government, even though the rulers were at times immoral. It is still true, I believe that the statement is still true, that bad government is better than no government, and there needs to be accountability and protection for those in leadership positions. And we live in a world where wicked liberals cannot stomach the truth about capital punishment. They're bent rather on protecting criminals and not the innocent. And yet the scriptures time and time and time again teach us that the cost, the price for taking another person's life is execution. It is capital punishment. That is the fitting punishment for murder. Genesis 9 and verse 6, in the what is Bible scholars call the Noahic covenant, where the Lord laid down the laws for what life was to be like from the flood on. That includes us today, and it has not ceased. Other covenants have been added, but that one has not ended. In the Noahic covenant, Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he him. And so these people that conspire against King Ammon, their lives are taken. And that was a just action. And they actually were authorized of the Lord to do that in punishing evil. Well, finally, with the death of Ammon at age 24, the southern kingdom of Judah is in an unexpected crisis. I mean, they have a king that's 24 years old. They think, oh, he's going to be around for a long time. Well, that doesn't happen. And so the people of Judah are forced to take decisive action, and so they're going to make Josiah, Ammon's son, king in his stead. And Josiah just happens to be 8 years old. 8 years old, and he is placed on the throne. This is significant. It perpetuated the Davidic dynasty, David's line. God's still keeping his promises in spite of man's sinfulness. God's promises are sure. Neither Hezekiah's, Manasseh's, nor Ammon's failures and sins would nullify God's promises and faithfulness. It's interesting. You read in Matthew chapter 1, you have the line of the Messiah, the kingly line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew 1:10 says this, and Hezekiah begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josiah. So along with some formerly immoral women, such as Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba, there were some pretty immoral men included in the line of the Messiah. But man's sinfulness, man's failures did not nullify God's promises. We're thankful for the grace of God, and we're also thankful for the virgin birth of Christ, that he came being conceived of the Holy Spirit and not of these sinful men that we're studying. God forces and tempts no one to sin. God gives us examples, positive and negative, from which to learn, and God gives us the freedom to choose. And if we're wise, we'll choose to follow and not forsake the Lord God, and not sacrifice, not waste our lives serving the gods of this world. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study the life of Ammon tonight. It was not a pretty picture that we saw of him, yet it was true, and there are good lessons to learn from it. God, I pray that you'd help us not to presume upon your grace. Pray that you'd help us to be very careful, Lord, about the example that we are setting for others. Lord, we all fail, we fall. Help us to rise up again. Give us grace to humble ourselves and to press on in the grace of God. And God, give us the grace to make the right choice in spite of poor examples maybe that we've seen or stumbling blocks along the way. Help us not to just sacrifice our lives to the gods of this world, but to follow you faithfully no matter what. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I assume again that you're here tonight because you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you do not, if you have never received Jesus Christ, would you please do that now? Just open your heart, receive the Lord God as your Lord God. Receive Him personally. Christian, are you learning from others? Are you taking the personal responsibility to choose to live for Jesus Christ? Can you say, for to me to live is Christ? Can you say that? Have you made that personal choice? Would you determine that you're not going to pick up some idol that someone else has left behind? Listen, if somebody else dropped it in a garbage dump, it's probably not worth picking up, especially, and that's absolutely true when it comes to an idol. Don't pick up idols that others have gotten the victory over and left behind. Don't pick up those things. Would you be decisive and not allow any idols in your life or any nearby which could become a stumbling block to those around you? We are responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for the influence we have on others. And is there any sin tonight for which you need to humble yourself and repent, or any idols that need to be removed? Are you committed to following the Lord? Father, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Please help us to put into practice the truth that we've considered tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in taking your songbook and turning to